Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah, right!
Before the fax machines in college football war rooms all across America start dinging and danging, and there'll be some dinging and danging as there are going to be some upsets tomorrow inside war rooms. There's going to be some jubilation all across the country, not just here at Ole Miss. And at this hour, the state of Mississippi, well guys, it's in a doggone mess right now as to where the state's top uncommitted prospects will send their letters of intent tomorrow. One's even scheduled to do it today. That's West Point four-star offensive tackle Scott Lashley, who everybody in the world, including yours truly, was convinced he was the surest lock in the Mississippi State 2016 signing class. Not so much anymore. Word began breaking yesterday afternoon that Lashley probably going to sign with Alabama today, and at this hour, it's 10 a.m., the day before National Signing Day, and that is still the vibe, that Scott Lashley will send a letter of intent tomorrow into the Alabama Crimson Tide after announcing for the Tide this afternoon. There's no other way to shake it that news would be devastating for the Mississippi State class. And we're not here to talk about Mississippi State class, but it's part of the landscape that we're dealing with going into these final few hours before National Signing Day. And the question that's being asked out there today is, have these Mississippi kids been talking to one another? You're dang right they have. They definitely have been talking to one another. So there's a theory out there amongst Ole Miss fans in the paranoia realm of things. And I don't know if I should call it paranoia, because there's a good reason to be concerned about this, is that Raekwon Davis went to Alabama. Scott Lashley is now likely going to Alabama. At least most people feel that way at this hour. Could it be that A.J. Brown, Jeffrey Simmons, Kobe Jones follow suit and follow them to Alabama? Well, it could be. I don't think that's the case right now. I think they've been talking, but it looks like the point they've been hitting on with one another is they were not going to stay close to home and go to Mississippi State. Now, why do I say that? Well, because you've got one of those guys, two of those guys, you've got five of those guys, state of Mississippi top prospects already in the Ole Miss class. And Benito Jones, who is certainly close with Jeffrey Simmons, he's close with A.J. Brown, Benito's already enrolled at Ole Miss. So I don't think that theory has a whole lot of legs to it, so to speak. It's going to be interesting how everything plays out tomorrow. I promise you that. And I wish we had a quote-unquote crystal ball that we could look into right now and tell you exactly how everything's going to play. There are just simply too many moving parts. There's still a lot of recruiting going on. Remember, coaches have unlimited calls during the last 2 days leading up to signing day and on signing day with these recruits. And they're working the phones. I was able to confirm Hugh Freeze and Jeffrey Simmons had very good conversations last night, but Simmons has been getting the calls from Alabama and Mississippi State as expected. So a little bit of nervousness right there, and natural nervousness. But I don't think anything to be overly concerned about. But anything can happen. That's the ground rule we're playing this game by. And remember that. If things don't break your school's way tomorrow, remember the ground rule we're playing by is anything can happen. And often does in recruiting. So that's kind of setting the in-state stage right now. Dave, I know you were equally shocked when the news broke yesterday that Scott Lashley may in fact be turning his back on the school that everybody in the country thought he was going to and maybe heading towards Titletown and Tuscaloosa.
I agree with you, David. And before I get on that topic, I just want to point out something real quick. You know, I think with National Signing Day approaching, we forgot today was Groundhog Day, and Phil did not see his shadow. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm about ready to break out the shorts and Crocs. But Lashley, I was shocked. And, you know, like you said, for the longest he was expected to be a heavy Mississippi State lean, a Mississippi State legacy. And, you know, that's not trending right now. The crystal balls on the 247 Sports have started trickling in with Alabama. And I join that in that prediction. So, you know, we'll know the full details for sure at 4 p.m. today when he announces.
Michael, it's easy when the school that you cover has the nation's number four ranked recruiting class the day before National Signing Day to look around and be critical of the recruiting efforts of others. But something does not appear to be right in Starkville. You're talking about a Mississippi, and look, let me say this. They may get them all tomorrow. This may be the biggest troll in the history of recruiting. I don't know. But I don't think that's what's going on. But Michael, something can't be clicking right for a program that's won 19 games over the last 2 years. A program that was ranked number one in the nation for, what, 5 weeks during the 2014 season. And they can't find any traction to convince local kids, kids who grew up on Saturdays inside Davis-Wade Stadium, to come play football for them. What gives in Starkville? What do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, it's really strange because, like you said, they had all the momentum in the world, winning 10 games last year, being the number one team in the country for a while, and then quietly having a pretty solid year this year. And then it really set up with so many great players right in their backyard, so many high-profile guys inside the Golden Triangle and just on the outskirts of it as well, that it is really surprising to see where we stand at this hour of how few of those guys seem to be leaning, if any of them seem to be leaning towards state at this moment. They still could very well end up with one, two, three of those guys. Like you said, anything can happen right now, and the ground's always shifting. But at this moment, it's really not looking good for them, and this was supposed to set up to be a huge monster class for Mississippi State. And it's really hard to pinpoint. It could be a variety of factors of kids being used to something for so long and wanting to get away from home a little bit, or whether it's sort of the coaching instability, all the losing coaches like Townsend and Hughes and Diaz in such a short period of time, and Mullen sort of shopping his own name around out there. There's a lot at play here. I've heard some people say that leaving, being the one school to leave the state flag up, had any impact. I don't think that's the case, but there's something strange going on that these kids should all be, you know, locks in the back of state's pocket right now, but it doesn't appear that way.
That geographical triangle area, Starkville, West Point, Columbus, they call it the Golden Triangle, but it's been more like the Bermuda Triangle for state this year, as they've become lost in the recruiting waters in their own backyard, it appears. Now, again, sun comes up tomorrow, because I promise you, they're not sitting down there going, oh, man, we blew it. They're sitting down there going, how can we throw enough Hail Mary passes to come out on top in this thing? They're working hard today. not only in Starkville, but in Oxford and in Tuscaloosa. And those seem to be the three schools that are involved in our Ole Miss recruiting conversation as we're quickly approaching 7 a.m. Central Time Wednesday when it hits the fan, so to speak. Now, as far as Ole Miss goes, spoke to my sources late last night. I've already spoken to some this morning. And pretty much, guys, the six names that we've been tossing around for the last couple of days, those are the guys that they feel best about. And I want to emphasize best. I don't think out of the six of them, I would tell you probably only one I would consider a lock, and that being Deontay Anderson. They feel good about the other five being Jeffrey Simmons, tight end Jacob Mathis, Jonathan Congbo, A.J. Brown, and Shaheem Carter. But I don't think that any of my Ole Miss sources would look me in the eye and say we think they're all locks. So that's the dynamic we're looking at going into tomorrow. In previous cycles, you may have had a question or two, but you didn't have five questions. And five questions, well, the five questions would get five more questions because you're hanging out there wondering, okay, what is the fate of Devon Penamon? All right, is he going to stay in this class or is he not going to stay in this class? We thought we would have an answer on that last night. It did not occur. Now what we're hearing is sometime today or sometime this evening, we'll know whether or not Devon Penamon is going to stay in this Ole Miss class or if he's going to end up playing either at Texas A&M or Alabama. I got word from the state of Texas last night that even out there, the vibe is Devon Penamon wants to stay committed to Ole Miss. But we're hanging. We'll see. We thought we were going to get it last night. It did not happen. I talked to him a little bit via DM on Twitter. At one point, he said he was waiting for his mom to get home, but then I got a little more information before he hit me back saying, hey, it was going to be pushed back until tonight. So we are monitoring that. Now, right now, just as recruiting in general, Scott Lashley set to announce at 4 o'clock this afternoon at West Point High School, but I understand that West Point High School, due to the severe and imminent bad weather that is about to roll in to North Mississippi and Central Mississippi, West Point High School is going to be letting out early. So will that affect his announcement? I don't know. Haven't heard yet, but school won't be in session by then. And if he's committing to Alabama at West Point High School, that may not be a bad thing, that school is not in session. Much like, you know, people are expecting somewhat of a show tomorrow at Starkville High School when A.J. Brown announces, if he in fact announces that he's going anywhere other than Mississippi State. Now, I think a lot of that's overblown. As we talked about yesterday on the podcast, that, you know, hey, those are A.J.'s friends he goes to school with. They're going to support him no matter what. And I think a little bit of that, oh, man, they're going to break the popcorn machine inside the football facility if A.J. commits to Alabama or Ole Miss. I think that's a little overblown there. That's not going to happen. So, but we'll see. And I'm working on putting up, I'll have a front page story up in just a little bit on all of the announcement times and where you can watch them if they're being broadcast via television or over the internet. So just a lot of fun stuff ahead of us, several hours and extending on into Monday. The long shots in this class, Dave, Mike Juarez, Rashawn Gary, I think they are exactly that. They are the longest of shots at this point with National Signing Day just a few hours away. You may have a differing opinion, but Rashawn Gary, Mike Juarez, I wouldn't waste a whole lot of thought on them today. I think they're going elsewhere.
I agree. They are long shots. I do know that there has been, you know, some last minute, you know, possible, you know, excitement with Juarez and that, you know, due to social media. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, and we said it all along, is, you know, the parents have not seen the campus yet. you're talking about a thousand mile stretch, you know, across country. It's hard for me to grasp that, you know, he would go anywhere else other than UCLA at this point. That's where my crystal ball is in. I would be surprised, you know, it would be a good surprise, but I would be surprised if he were to announce Ole Miss on National Signing Day. And Rashawn Gary, for the past several weeks, it has looked to be Michigan. He did take that official visit over to Clemson. Clemson was thought to be, you know, pulling into a last-minute race with him, but I just see Michigan is the team to beat by far right now.
Michael, there's, if Ole Miss were to get the six players that we mentioned, Deontay Anderson, Jeffrey Simmons, Jacob Mathis, Jonathan Kongbo, A.J. Brown, Cheyenne Carter, going to be the biggest national surprise for people outside the Magnolia State or outside of Rebel Nation tomorrow. Who will they clang the most about Ole Miss getting a signature from? And I've got my own opinion on that. I think it's Kongbo because I think the Tennessee fans, media is convinced Jonathan Kongbo, who was once committed there, is going to come back in the fold. Butch Jones, after all, did fly out to Arizona and had ice cream with him. I think that's my opinion. I think the national media will jaw drop over Jonathan Kongbo if he signs his letter of intent with Ole Miss. The rest of them, I think, they've come to the realization Ole Miss has a real fighting shot for. What's your opinion? Who's the jaw dropper if it happens tomorrow for the rest of the nation? Who's the guy that's going to create everybody getting on message boards and going, well, you know what they'll say?
Yeah, I think that for those that are there's really three different answers to that. For those who follow recruiting down here in the South, I think Kongbo, you're right, will be the biggest surprise because he was committed to Tennessee and he seemed like there's a strong possibility of him going back into the fold with Tennessee. For those who follow recruiting elsewhere in the country, seeing a Shaheen Carter, a guy from LSU's backyard with an LSU offer who was once committed to Bama and is still wanted by Bama to sign in the middle of all that with Ole Miss, especially as a DB with how many great DBs have come through Baton Rouge and Tuscaloosa, especially in recent years. I think that would certainly warrant some shock there. But as we know from public relations, that perception is reality, that ESPN matters a whole lot when it comes to perception in the recruiting world, because so many folks will be tuned in to ESPNU to watch that coverage. And what's funny is a lot of times there are some great journalists that work over there, but a lot of times the recruiting guys can get behind the eight ball a bit. I was watching ESPNU the other day, and one of the analysts, I can't remember his name, said that Ole Miss was the dark horse for Deontay Anderson. And right now there are other schools in the driver's seat, but Deontay Anderson is the dark horse, which shows you how much they know about Anderson's recruitment. So I think they're going to react on ESPN, some of the analysts, if he does, in fact, do what we expect and sign with Ole Miss. They'll lose their minds a little bit and be confused. Oh, yes, Texas was after him hard, and A&M's in state, and LSU, he visited there. And I feel like they'll be a little shocked when he puts on that Ole Miss hat.
Yeah, that's the thing, honestly, and I think it applies to Ole Miss fans as well. But it's the national media's perspective that things cannot change, that there is an order to the college football universe that includes Alabama and USC, and for God's sakes, they won't take Notre Dame off the top of it, no matter how bad the Irish football program is and how bad they get whooped when they play quality opponents. But, you know, there's a pecking order in the college football universe that is to never, ever change. And there just can't be a team that could move up that pecking order permanently. I've said this often. I told someone this last night. I said, you know, Ole Miss's success outside of Rebel Nation, if you will, is viewed much like the the few years of a run James Franklin had at Vanderbilt. Everybody was looking at Franklin and going, oh, well, it's nice he's winning there. He better get out while he can. It won't last. And they were right about Vandy. But a lot of people outside of Ole Miss, outside of Rebel Nation, view Ole Miss's success the same way. Wow, he's really having a nice run there, but it's Ole Miss. They won't be able to sustain it. Why did they feel that way? Well, 50-plus years of history. You know, that's why they feel that way. But it is ridiculous for national media types who can't recognize change on the beat that they cover. And I think that's out there quite a bit. I don't hold it against opposing fan bases, but when it comes to the talking heads who make their living informing the masses about what's going on in the world of college football, who can't wrap their heads around it, Mark May, you know, that gets on my nerves a little bit, because the change that has been made here in Oxford, and we've all seen it. I mean, I was there when they were 2-10. I know how broken the program was, and I know how this foundation was built, starting off by picking up matchsticks and stacking matchsticks and slowly and slowly and slowly building this thing. It's all a firm foundation, and they're not going anywhere soon. And every now and then one of these national media types will write a story, Ole Miss here to stay, and it sets the world on fire. You know, but anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. But that grinds my gears, so to speak. And I'll just leave that at that. We're not going to take up too much of your time today on the podcast, because things are constantly changing. And to be quite honest with you, by the time Dave engineers this thing and we get it posted up on the site, some things could be a little bit different. Here are some things you need to know. Watch where you're getting your Ole Miss recruiting news from. I put it on the board. You know, if you are getting upset and hanging on everything that Cornflower 42 on a rival site's message board is putting up about what's going on behind the scenes and the recruitment of some of these top Mississippi guys, then I have no answer for you. Don't go there. I promise you we're going to tell you everything as quick as we can and as honestly as we can between now and in the morning. And the verdict's coming in the morning. We're in closing arguments right now. That's what's going on here. You're going to know everything tomorrow. But be careful, because I know you might not believe this, but there are people out there who intentionally put out misinformation to yank your chain. And not all of them are fans. So be careful on that. And enjoy it for what it is. That would be my advice to everyone. It's exciting. It's fun. It's awesome to see your football program stockpile talent for future victories. And that's what this is all about. Don't bash the kids. They don't go to your school. Wish them well. It's their choice. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not Michael Quirk's. It may be Dave Bevin's. I don't know, Dave. Dave, you got any pull on that?
It's not mine. It's not my decision.
So there you have it. It's unanimous. It's their decision. The coaches have put the hay in the barn. They're still forking right now as we speak and will throughout the night. I wouldn't expect there'll be a whole lot of sleep for anybody on anybody's Power 5 college football staff tonight as they try to tie the knot in the future of their programs. And we'll have closing thoughts now. Dave, shoot.
My closing thought is it kind of goes along with what you were saying, David. I would just like to remind once again, this is these prospects, this is their decision. And, you know, if you do not like that decision, you know, leave it to yourself. You know, it's their decision. But I would highly suggest to be proud of their, you know, decision, be supportive of them versus, you know, upset, you know, it didn't go in what you, in the way that you possibly wanted it to go. So just keep that in mind that it is their decision. And like you said, David, have fun with it. It is National Signing Day. We're less than 24 hours away. A lot of excitement coming up.
Michael, your closing thoughts, and I know they're going to be good. Michael always breaks down and analyzes the situation. He's got special talent for that. So analyze this, my friend.
I just want to say that that tomorrow it's pretty evident that Ole Miss is going to have the higher ranked recruiting class across the board from our in-state rival. But let's make sure not to chastise the Bulldogs class too much on the board, because remember, even if, you know, said guy for them, you talk about how many 3 stars they have or how few of offers they have, it's still an 18-year-old kid that we're talking about here. And at Ole Miss, we talk about, you know, all the class and everything that we try and exhibit. So I think that talking about how great the Ole Miss class is rather than anyone else's class being good or bad or indifferent or anything like that, I think let's make sure to focus more on Oxford than anything outside the city limits.
Good words, wise words. I'll add one last thing. Take it easy on the middle-aged reporters tomorrow. If things don't break your way, don't shoot the messenger, because we're going to be your messengers. I'm the only one middle-aged. I don't want to add years to Dave and Michael here. I'm 44, and let me tell you something, brother. Let me borrow that line from Stingray. Let me tell you something, brother. I want to tell you something, brother. I'm tired. Okay, I'm worn out, flat-dab out, but I'm going to make it across the finish line. But listen, we've told you everything we know to the best of our ability. We'll continue to do that in the coming hours before National Signing Day tomorrow, and we appreciate you. Can't tell you all how much I thank you for the January that we had. I got numbers in from corporate yesterday. And Rebels 247, all across the nation, the entire 247 Sports Network, in terms of new membership for the month of January, we finished ninth in the nation. And that is quite an accomplishment considering the market that we're in here, which is one of the smaller markets in America, but is also served by two other major recruiting services. And not every school has that situation they have to deal with. And you know, the Texas fan base, the Alabama fan base, those are mega sites right there. And still, we're running with the big dogs inside the 247 Sports Network, and it's really because of all of you who are part of our online community. And just from the bottom of my heart, from my family's heart, on behalf of Michael and Dave, we thank you so much for that. And thank you for this little bit of time you've given us today. We'll have a podcast tomorrow once the dust settles. In the morning, stay tuned. We'll be up in front at Command Center at 5 a.m. in the morning. So we'll start early, finish late, and put the final touches on this 2016 class. And guess what? On Thursday, I'm going to have a ton of stuff for you on the 2017 class. So as that gets started, because on Thursday it's only 364 days away from the next time we do this again. All of us from Rebels 247, again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And hotty toddy, my friends. Hang in there. We're almost across the line. Good day.